with cloud-based tools and managed services for property tax compliance, from filing returns to tracking assessments. Learn more at avalara.com/property tax.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Mostly cloudy this evening, turning partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, sunny and warmer with a high in the mid-70s.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri since 1982 with a variety of environmental services from indoor air quality and mold services to energy audits and solar energy installation. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com.
From NPR News, I'm Juana Summers.
And I'm Scott Detrow. All the...
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, 90.3 FM in Chanute, many frequencies all around the state. You can listen online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org or use the KPR app. We have a version for iOS. We have a version for Android.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Prairie Paws Animal Shelter. Serving Ottawa, Manhattan, and Emporia, Prairie Paws connects pets with new homes through adoption services, helping to ensure that every animal gets a second chance. More at prairiepaws.org.
Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, we're going to talk about anti-narco-terrorism in the U.S. There appears to be a new policy. The Secretary of State says the U.S. is at war with drug cartels. We'll tell you what we know. Then Utah has set an ambitious housing goal, build 35,000 low-priced starter homes in 5 years. Some developers are like, all right, count me in.
Maybe I'll make less money per home, but I get to build more homes, and I'm going to fix a societal problem.
Still, construction has fallen short of projections. We'll tell you why coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Music Alliance's Mixmaster Music Conference, September 19th and 20th at Lawrence Public Library. Music industry workshops, panels, discussions, and networking for artists. Tickets at mixmaster2025.com.
I promised an update on the KPR versus KBIA radio rivalry as it stands as of about an hour ago. KPR leads, but don't get complacent. 41-34, we are taking pledges through Monday morning in the radio rivalry.
Support for NPR.
This weekend, the Catholic Church will canonize a new saint. Carlos Acutis was just a teenager when he died in 2006. He was nicknamed God's Influencer for his use of the internet to promote Catholic miracles.
I think Carlo kind of summarizes someone who, at such a young age, was so sure of what he believed in.
We hear from the family and followers of the first millennial saint on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Art Guild, presenting the annual Art in the Park, September 13th and 14th at South Park in downtown Lawrence. Art, live music, and food. Details at lawrenceartguild.org.
News headlines are coming up in less than a minute. 62 degrees in Lawrence, 63 in Topeka, 60 in Chanute. It is 6:30. For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. While in Kansas, a reporter found a tracking device on his car. Now he's suing the Federal Bureau of Investigation for more information. Zane Irwin has the story.
New York Times reporter Kevin Draper was in Lawrence, Kansas, when he discovered the tracking device in October of 2021. The FBI opened an investigation, but the case was closed years later. A legal complaint alleges that the FBI has failed to respond to public records requests about the investigation. At the time of the incident, Draper was a sports business reporter for the Times. It's unclear what he was reporting on in Lawrence. The FBI and a lawyer for the New York Times both declined to comment. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
The Kansas Bureau of Investigation has broken ground on a regional crime center and laboratory on Pittsburgh State University's campus. It will combine investigative and laboratory operations with PSU's criminal justice education program. Staff at the facility will work on a wide variety of investigations, including theft and human trafficking. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach was at the groundbreaking today.
But at the end of the day, we're talking about a better way for law enforcement to collaborate and to deal with all of these types of crime.
The new facility is expected to be completed in early 2027. The Kansas Jayhawks kick off at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon in Columbia for a renewal of what's being called the Border Showdown. Greg Eklund reports.
Both teams have come out of the gates with strong defensive performances. In KU's first two games, the Jayhawks have allowed a total of 90 rushing yards. That and a total of 14 points is the best start by a KU defense since 2009 in the Mark Mangino era. In a rivalry game, current Jayhawks coach Lance Leipold wants to make sure KU is poised.
We always want to be an enthusiastic team and not an emotional team. Your emotions sometimes can take in directions that can be counterproductive sometimes.
KU's last win in Columbia was in 2004. I'm Greg Eklund.
The K-State Wildcats, with their 1-1 record, are at home tomorrow for a 6 p.m. kickoff against Army. It's 6:35.
Support
for today at KansasPublicRadio.org.
Again, that's at KansasPublicRadio.org. At last report, KPR leading KBIA by a score of 41-34. But all of us are Jayhawk fans, and we know that that is not a comfortable lead. That's not what I would call a comfortable lead. 41-34, so we're ahead. Yay! But early in the game yet, so make your pledge today. If you are a new donor, you've never contributed to KPR before, we get 2 points. That's a lot. Go a long way. Make your pledge of 5, 10, whatever works for you. Just a few bucks, because this is going on the number of donors, not the amount of donations. Make your pledge today in the radio rivalry at KansasPublicRadio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader's Audio Sale, a benefit sale of vinyl records, audio equipment, and more at the Lawrence Public Library, Saturday, September 13th. More information online at reader.ku.edu/audio sale.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and lots of other frequencies too. Always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. 10 more minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. It is 62 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
Stability with relevant candidates through its sponsored jobs feature. Learn more at indeed.com/NPR. From Progressive Insurance, Progressive is looking for dedicated and forward-thinking individuals to join their growing team. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. And from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org.
Lawmakers, activists, professors, musicians, scientists, parents, friends, and neighbors, hear from them all weekday mornings on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations Monday through Friday. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Coming up next, news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of film music. It is Film Music Friday. Daryl Brogdon is your host. Tonight, concentrating on the music from films about the miracle of flight. In the background, we are hearing a bit of Howard Shore's wonderful score for The Aviator, that and many, many more coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering the New York Times and Washington Post online, Ancestry.com, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Tomorrow evening on Live at Green Lady Lounge, it's the Sam Platt Trio in the Green Lady's Orion Room, with organist Brian Ward, saxophonist Doug Talley, and Sam Platt at the drums. This talented threesome performs an hour of original music, including Town Topic and Green Swing. It's live at Green Lady Lounge tomorrow evening at 6 on your KPR stations. It's 62 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. President Trump is planning to host next year's G20 Summit of World Leaders at a resort he owns in Miami. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, when he tried to do something like this in his first term, it generated so much controversy, Trump changed course.
Trump says everyone wants the G20 summit to be held at his Florida golf resort because the location is perfect.
They'll have their own buildings. So it'll be incredible for them. And being like 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes from the airport, and it's a big airport, international, all of the planes will be able to land, go right into there.
Trump insists he will make no money on it. During his first term, even Republicans pushed back on the prospect that Trump could personally profit as countries paid for lodging at an international summit. As for this year's G20 in South Africa, Trump confirmed he isn't going and is sending the vice president in his place. Tamara Keith, NPR News, The White House.
The Department of Health and Human Services is responding to news that it plans to cite use of Tylenol by pregnant women as having links to autism, even though scientific research doesn't back up that claim. NPR's Yuki Noguchi has more.
An upcoming report will suggest acetaminophen, known to many as Tylenol, is linked to autism and that folic acid, a vitamin, could prevent it, according to a story in the Wall Street Journal. When asked about the upcoming report, a spokesperson for the HHS said, quote, until we release the final report, any claims about its contents are nothing more than speculation, end quote. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the controversial head of HHS, has repeated falsehoods about the causes of autism. The Society for Maternal-Fetal Medicine says acetaminophen is safe for pregnant women and that untreated pain and fever in pregnancy can be dangerous. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.
Unemployment is rising among black workers in America, especially black women. NPR's Andrea Hsu reports that's according to the latest jobs number from the Labor Department.
In August, the unemployment rate for black workers rose to 7.5%. That's up from 6.2% in January, and far higher than the overall unemployment rate of 4.3% for all workers. Unemployment among black women has risen faster than for black men. One factor driving this change could be the downsizing of the federal government. A year ago, black workers made up 18.5% of the federal civilian workforce. At some agencies, they made up about a third. Black workers are often the first to feel the pain of economic downturns, so this uptick in unemployment could be a sign that economic troubles are ahead. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
Wall Street lower by the closing bell. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from EBSCO, committed to providing perpetual access to print and digital books for libraries and the communities they serve. Learn more at EBSCO.com. From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 5th. The moon will briefly cover up the tail of the sea goat tonight, Deneb Algidi, the brightest star of Capricornus. The sequence will be visible across much of the United States. This vanishing act is an occultation, a type of eclipse in which one object completely covers another. But eclipses are nothing new for Deneb Algidi. Not only does it periodically get covered up by the moon, but it stages its own eclipses, two of them every day. What we see as Deneb Algidi is a binary, two stars in a tight orbit around each other. The main star in the system is about twice as big and heavy as the Sun and much brighter. Its companion is a little smaller and fainter than the Sun. We're looking at the system edge on, so the stars pass in front of each other, creating eclipses. When the fainter star crosses in front of the brighter one, the system's overall brightness drops by about 20%, enough for a skilled sky watcher to notice. But when the brighter star eclipses the fainter one, the dip is much smaller, so it's detectable mainly with instruments. The stars orbit each other once a day. That means we see two eclipses per day, just 12 hours apart. Deneb Algidi isn't especially bright, so it's hard to see through the bright moonlight. But binoculars will help you pick it out. From much of the western U.S., the moon will just miss the eclipse-happy tail of the Seagoat. We have more skywatching tips and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's John Williams leading the London Symphony Orchestra with the flying theme from E.T. the Extraterrestrial here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Not a bad way to begin this week's show, because tonight we are celebrating the miracle of flight and the movies it's inspired. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome to our show that celebrates the music of the movies. After thousands of years of dreaming about it, people finally figured out how to stay airborne just over a century ago. Airplanes are a useful mode of transportation, subject matter for hacky stand-up comics, and the subject for some of the most memorable movies ever made. Tonight, we'll hear music to backdrop some of those films, including The Blue Max, The Spirit of St. Louis, The Aviator, and more. A good place to begin this journey is Conquest of the Air, a 1936 British documentary chronicling our romance with flight from the early legend of Icarus to the aerial circumnavigation of the modern age. Sir Arthur Bliss was brought aboard to write the score for this film, which unfortunately suffered a lot of post-production tampering. That included the music as well, which was chopped up and often accompanied scenes for which it was not intended. Lucky for us, Arthur Bliss fashioned an orchestral suite from the score, which was first performed at the Proms concerts in 1938. The Conquest of the Air by Sir Arthur Bliss on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Conquest of the Air, an orchestral suite by Sir Arthur Bliss, drawn from his score for the movie in 1936. And here for you on KPR's Film Music Friday. Coming up, Ron Goodwin's memorable theme music for 633 Squadron, plus news from NPR at 8:01. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Merck Co-op, featuring fresh, prepared foods and drinks and made-from-scratch pastries. Open daily at 901 Iowa in Lawrence and 501 Minnesota in KCK. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Prairie Paws Animal Shelter, with locations in Ottawa, Manhattan, and Emporia, providing compassionate care for animals in need, including spay and neuter programs to help reduce pet overpopulation. Details at prairiepaws.org. From the University of Kansas, this is the place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia. Next, it's the music by Franz Waxman for The Spirit of St. Louis, the 1957 movie about... Charles Lindbergh's famous transatlantic flight, starring a 48-year-old James Stewart playing the 25-year-old aviator. Now, what we're about to hear is a symphonic suite drawn from that film, along with narration, written by Scottish poet James Forsyth. The narration is spoken by George Shirley, and the Berlin Radio Symphony is led here by Lawrence Foster on KPR's Film Music Friday.
I, Charles A. Lindbergh, seek now to explain the spirit of the Spirit of St. Louis again. Seek why that success then bore no stain, but glowed as a merited medal of gold. I, now being more than old, standing free of time's weather and the torrential rain of the day-to-day downpour of figures and facts, now see these facts clearly. Life then was a game, with clear enough rules how, without shame, we, the young, could reach our goal. The goal was success, with a capital S, and to this then eager young man, the barnstorming flyer from the sticks, success was a flight no man had yet done. Paris from New York by air. No, not by air as we know it now. By flight, by wings, in a heavier-than-air machine. A machine, of course, there had to be, fit for the flight, but the flyer was me. This was flying. I would not be conveyed as the pilots of today by AI and miraculous gadgetry. I, a raw stunt flyer from the Midwest who had done wing walking to raise the wind for finances towards his great day, had the conceit of competing with aces and greats and would fly all alone all that way. Absurd? Yeah, absurd maybe. Yet, not unlike the small bird who, in his great migratory flight, must trust in himself, must trust what God, tradition, instinct, experience had installed in him, installed in me was the conviction it could be done, if we could build a bird of a plane. But no maker would deliver a plane for just me and my maker alone to fly. Not till very late in the day in San Diego, California, we found a small firm of men of our mettle who shared the spirit of my St. Louis few faithful backers. So, in the West, while in New Jersey, New York, and in France, too, the big men built big planes for the big flight, often ending in flames on the big runway, a few gifted, if more modest, men sweated to build, against the clock, a small one-engined monoplane which, when completed, would merit the name of Spirit of St. Louis. But the spirit came before the plane. The spirit was there even at the start, in a childhood rhyme I'd once learned by heart. In the elder days of art, builders wrought with the greatest care each minute and unseen part, for the gods see everywhere. There she sat, silver in the sun, bird-like, with her single span of wide wings spread, and her wheels astride, and as eager to thrust up from the ground as eagle's feet. In her whole stance was a sense of eagerness that she should be a wing and away. And for me was the privilege, the honor that day, to take her up then and there, up into her element, my element, air. And in the very first flight, she somehow began to sense the success in this man's dream of being in the air, not man and machine, not two, but in spirit, one. All construction fears were jettisoned then. The sense of promise and hope in the air was, as in a love affair, wonderful. Now, beyond that manic nightmare when, in the wan, wet streets of New York town, a startling change in the weather made all sleep impossible, and the dawn too suddenly became my takeoff time, beyond the bemisted, pallid, and drawn pessimistic faces of men who now believed me condemned to be killed, as with the sluggish, mud-stained plane we struggled on to the Roosevelt Field, beyond that lumbering takeoff run, when the slap of her gallons of gasoline threatened to wreck the whole machine and bring the struts to break point before there was the liftoff to take the engine's roar up and clear of the black perimeter. Before and beyond sea fog and the darkness when my instincts fought and lost the fight to mistrust my truthful instruments. In all these crises, in all that long flight from sunrise to sunset and sunset again, over landmass to lighthouse where one could see from the laundry on the washing line the keeper's kind of family, over the great gray storm-struck sea where the spittle of the gale streaked away from the whipped white horses and its monstrous swell was miniature to me, where a deep cloud's well-held water only a porpoise proved true by its minuscule splashes, all the way through throbbing dawn to darkness, in that whole flight, the worst of all the testing times was the nightmare fight to keep my body from the suicide of sleep. For body, mind, spirit, all three broke up and became separate parts of me, and the drug of lack of sleep dragged me into hallucination. In these hallucinations, I know, as certainly as I knew anything then, that specters, phantoms, drifted through the whispering struts and spoke to me, spoke with strange familiarity. And with the specters, my mind then drifted away. My body gave up, and the plane, unpiloted, flying itself, the plane by some virtue of nature or design, became the faithful horse who knows the way to bear the drunken master home. The spirit of the flight then seemed alone to check for drift and bear us both on towards Europe and the planned landfalls of Ireland, England, and Le Bourget, France. We did not fall from the sky like Icarus, not destiny which can lead men and nations astray, but the gods and good fortune perhaps got me awake, and to the fulfillment of all I could do for flight, for mankind, as now I flew out beyond deadly sleep, out and on to the skies over Ireland.
Thank you.
two, the spirit of St. Louis and I were one now in assured success, and one with the progress of mankind, or so I thought. For then my mind knew nothing of what technology, greed, speed, and man's lack of care would do to pollute that pure air and take us away from the pure joy of free flight. That in jumbo days, the sinister shape of great Concorde would seem like the icon of a great white bird, idolized to death in an idolatry subtly and surely on its way to making man the flyer, a machine which greater machines would then convey, imprisoned in the air. Is this to what I am now led? That speed and greed through my young dream of bird-like flight in the pure free air has made man the flyer, a prisoner of a power which pollutes his own atmosphere? And was it this the wind-swept specters said at my young ear when my helmeted head had no understanding? When, for a time unconscious, but uncannily still on course for France, Paris, and the planned success, the spirit of the spirit of St. Louis drove on in a world above and beyond this one, where all that was spirit?
Thank you.
That's the symphonic suite Spirit of St. Louis, drawn from the movie score by Franz Waxman with narration written by James Forsythe, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. That's the Berlin Radio Symphony conducted by Lawrence Foster. The narration is spoken by George Shirley. And all of this music, of course, is taken from the 1957 movie Spirit of St. Louis, directed by Billy Wilder and starring Jimmy Stewart as Charles Lindbergh. Tonight, we're celebrating the cinema of flight on Film Music Friday, and coming up, some memorable war movies like The Blue Max and 633 Squadron, plus The Aviator and The Aeronauts. It's all ahead between 8 and 9 tonight here on KPR. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Headquarters Kansas, presenting its annual 988 Breakfast of Hope, Monday, September 8th, 8 a.m. at Headquarters Kansas, a morning of connection, reflection, and community care. Event details at hqkansas.org.
Hi, I'm Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, calling on football fans and public radio listeners to unite in support of KPR during their radio rivalry with fellow station KBIA. As KU and MU take to the field during the upcoming border showdown, KPR is raising funds to continue their mission of local journalism and music for all. Starting September the 4th through the 7th, every donation made is a point for the Jayhawks. Give a gift of support today at kansaspublicradio.org.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3. And KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org. You can also listen on your smart speakers. To find out about all the ways to listen to KPR, just visit kansaspublicradio.org. Coming up on 8:01, the news is next.
Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. The Department of Agriculture has started to issue guidance on how states should implement new work requirements for people who get food assistance through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. As NPR's Maria Godoy reports, estimates suggest the new rules could result in some 2.4 million people losing benefits each month.
The changes to SNAP were included in the massive spending and tax bill President Trump signed into law this summer. Under the new rules, most able-bodied adults without dependents must now prove they work, volunteer, or take part in a training program for at least 80 hours a month in order to keep their SNAP benefits. The changes removed previous exemptions for many parents of teens, veterans, people experiencing homelessness, foster youth, and adults between the ages of 55 and 65. The USDA says states have a 120-day period to implement the changes. Maria Godoy, NPR News.
The Trump administration says the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Agency, or USCIS, will now have its own law enforcement agents who can make arrests and carry firearms. NPR's Jasmine Garst reports it's a shift for the agency, which reviews applications for immigrants to become naturalized citizens and issues green cards.
USCIS has up until now been kept separate from making immigration arrests and enforcing deportations. Under the new rule, the agency will be able to add special agents who can carry firearms and execute search and arrest warrants. In a statement, the Department of Homeland Security called it the dawn of a new era and said the rule will allow USCIS to, quote, thoroughly fulfill its national security, fraud detection, and public safety missions. The rule will go into effect after 30 days. Jasmine Garst, NPR News, Washington.
Employers added far fewer jobs than expected last month. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says employers added 222,000 jobs in August,
down from the nearly 80,000 jobs that economists were expecting to have been created. NPR's Scott Horsley has more on what that means for possible rate cuts.
Forecasters were already betting that Fed policymakers would cut interest rates by at least a quarter percentage point at their next meeting, which is in less than 2 weeks, to prop up the job market. After today's report, some investors think the Fed could even go further and order a supersized half-point rate cut. The reason the Fed has been keeping interest rates this high for this long is to fight inflation. And so long as the job market was holding up, you know, policymakers felt like they could take their time before making a change. Now, with these cracks appearing in the job market, the Fed is being pulled in two different directions, and that's not a comfortable place for the central bank to be.
NPR's Scott Horsley. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Cy Sims Foundation, since 1985 supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fairer, more just, and civil society. More information at cysimsfoundation.org. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday is Kansas Public Radio. Ron Goodwin's theme music for 633 Squadron, performed by the City of Prague Philharmonic, led by Paul Bateman. You're on KPR's Film Music Friday. This is a 1964 film about one of those impossible World War II missions. In this case, a squadron of mosquito bombers that has to attack an impregnable German fortress located deep inside a Norwegian fjord. Tonight on Film Music Friday, it's movies about flying, and later, Jerry Goldsmith's tremendous score for The Blue Max. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and thank you for joining us tonight. From 1952 came a film called The Sound Barrier, directed by David Lean. about British jet planes and their attempts to fly faster than sound. Malcolm Arnold's score depicts the ecstasy of flying, the sense of loss when accidents happen, and finally a triumphant theme at the end. Here's the London Symphony Orchestra, led by Richard Hickox, Malcolm Arnold's Rhapsody from the Sound Barrier on KPR.
Thank you.
Music by Malcolm Arnold. You're on KPR's Film Music Friday. The Sound Barrier, 1952. It was Arnold's first of many collaborations with director David Lean and his first film score. The movie is based on real events, although it wasn't the British who first broke the sound barrier. And in fact, in the movie, the way it's depicted, the secret to breaking the sound barrier, apparently, is throw your engines in reverse at the last minute. Chuck Yeager, who really did break the sound barrier first, saw this film and said it was a good movie, but any pilot who tried to do that in flight would be a dead man. So, not exactly realistic. Still to come as we celebrate films about flight on KPR's Film Music Friday, we'll hear something from a classic aviation film, The High and the Mighty, with music by Dmitri Tiomkin. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Thank you so much for joining us on a Friday night here at KPR. Film Music Friday is available for streaming on demand at the KPR website, kansaspublicradio.org. Just click on Music, and that's where you'll find Film Music Friday. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City. Music by Eric Coates here on Kansas Public Radio. That's the Dam Busters March, composed in the 1950s for the movie The Dam Busters, which was all about Operation Chastise, when a group of RAF bombers attacked a series of dams in Nazi Germany with the famous bouncing bomb. The film was a huge hit, and Eric Coates, who disliked writing music for films, had refused the assignment several times. And when the producers told him that it was an important film and Britain's national prestige was tied up in it, he changed his mind. In fact, he had already started work on this march, sort of an exercise to imitate the style and sound of Sir Edward Elgar. And so when he took on the film assignment, he had a ready-made march for the Dam Busters. Music about aviation movies tonight on KPR's Film Music Friday. Still to come, The High and the Mighty and The Aeronauts later in this hour. Next, Jerry Goldsmith's music for The Blue Max from the early 1960s, a film about German aviators in the First World War. This is the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Elmer Bernstein, on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
There's some of Jerry Goldsmith's magnificent score for The Blue Max, a film about a German fighter pilot on the Western Front during World War I, a pilot who covets the Blue Max, the medal you receive for shooting down 20 aircraft. That's Jerry Goldsmith conducting the Philharmonia Orchestra here on KPR. Later this hour, one of the great movies about aviation and one of the first disaster films, The High and the Mighty, plus music from the new film, The Aeronauts, also coming up in the next half hour. Well, I'm sure you're aware the border rivalry is getting resumed this week with Kansas versus Missouri. And in public radio, it's KPR versus KBIA in Columbia, Missouri. We need your help to win this battle. Every gift you make to KPR now counts as 1 point, and if it's your very first gift, it's worth double. Don't let Missouri take this one. Make your gift now at kansaspublicradio.org. Rock Chalk and many thanks. It's Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio. Two Themes for Two Airplanes. That's by Howard Shore for the 2004 film The Aviator, here on Kansas Public Radio's Film Music Friday. This was about the life of Howard Hughes, directed by Martin Scorsese. The two themes are one for the H-1 racing plane, in which Howard Hughes set a new speed record, and also for the infamous H-4 Hercules flying boat, the largest wooden airplane ever built, and which only flew one time, in a scene depicted in the movie. Daryl Brogdon here, Film Music Friday, tonight featuring music from movies about flying, later the Aeronauts, and those magnificent men in their flying machines. You know, one of the great aviation movies is The High and the Mighty, made in 1954, also one of the first disaster films. John Wayne and Robert Stack are the pilots of an airliner stricken mid-flight with an engine fire. The music for The High and the Mighty is by the great Dmitri Tiomkin, who won an Oscar for this movie. Tiomkin wrote a theme for The High and the Mighty that became a top 40 hit at that time, but what we're about to hear is not that theme. We're about to hear the prelude and the takeoff music, and finally, the happy landing for The High and the Mighty on Kansas Public Radio. that's some of Dmitri Tiomkin's Oscar-winning score for The High and the Mighty, 1954, played here by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and conducted by another esteemed film composer, Elmer Bernstein. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Film Music Friday, where every week we celebrate the music of the movies. Tonight, movies about aviation. I'm Darryl Brogdon. There's news from NPR headed your way at 9:01. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers, more than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com. And Audio Readers Audio Seal, a benefit sale of vinyl records, audio equipment, and more at the Lawrence Public Library, Saturday, September 13th. More information online at reader.ku.edu/audioseal. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio. from the new movie The Aeronauts, about an epic flight aboard a hot air balloon in the 1860s. That's called We Took to the Skies, music by Stephen Price on KPR's Film Music Friday. It's good of you to join us for another Film Music Friday here at KPR. For a playlist and to stream the show on demand, visit our website, which is kansaspublicradio.org. Hope you've enjoyed our tribute to movies about flying tonight. Seems like a good place to come in for a landing is with Ron Goodwin's song from Those Magnificent Men in Their Flying Machines, sung here by the John McCarthy Chorus on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, KPR's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. It's 9:01, news is next, followed by Jazz in the Night.
Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. President Trump today signed an executive order rebranding the Department of Defense the Department of War. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and Trump both say this reflects a new tone for the country and the military.
We won the First World War. We won the Second World War. We won everything before that and in between. And then we decided to go woke and we changed the name to Department of Defense. So we're going Department of War.
But Congress created the Department of War in 1789, and President Truman signed the law creating the Department of Defense from what remained of the War Department in 1949 after World War II. The new name will actually be part the department's secondary title. Trump suggested the administration would ask Congress to codify the change into law, but also said, quote, "I'm not sure they have to." Housing is one of the most significant pressures on families, and the state of Utah is reimagining the starter home. But as NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports, developers have been slow to sign on.
The goal is 35,000 starter homes in 5 years, priced under $400,000. The aim is to help young people like Miranda Potiker.
We'd make jokes like, what was I doing in third grade? I should have been buying a house instead of learning, you know, multiplication.
After 2 years in her grandparents' basement saving up, she and her husband did buy a starter home from developer Jed Nilsen.
Yeah, maybe I'll make less money per home, but I'm going to fix a societal problem.
Builders get below-market loans, but land here's expensive, and 1 year in, the state's behind its goal. To give a boost, lawmakers have expanded the program to starter condos. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Plain City, Utah.
The Federal Trade Commission is walking away from its nationwide ban on non-compete clauses. NPR's Andrea Hsu reports the commission says it's taking steps to vacate the rule.
An estimated 30 million workers in the U.S. are bound by non-competes. Those are employment agreements that prevent people from taking a new job with a competing business or starting one of their own. Under former President Biden, the FTC voted to ban them nationwide, a move the Biden administration said would lead to increased wages and innovation. But the current FTC chair, Andrew Ferguson, said the nationwide rule was patently illegal, extinguishing 30 million private contracts and displacing laws governing non-competes in 46 states. Ferguson acknowledged that non-competes can be pernicious. He said the FTC will take aggressive enforcement action against bad actors. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
The U.S. economy added just 22,000 jobs last month, far fewer than the nearly 80,000 that economists had expected. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics revised data from June down, reflecting job losses for the first time since the pandemic. You're listening to NPR News. President Trump's tax and spending legislation requires states to implement Medicaid work requirements starting in 2027. But as Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports, Montana is seeking to enforce them sooner.
Montana estimates 65% of Medicaid enrollees meet the standards or are exempt. But another state agency estimated that figure to be over 90%. Montana health economist Bryce Ward.
The expectations of any benefit to anybody from this are pretty much zero.
Ward expects the state will spend more money than it saves because of the additional paperwork. Ward also worries about Montanans erroneously being denied coverage. The latest federal data shows Montana failed to process over half of Medicaid applications this spring within the 45-day deadline. For NPR News, I'm Aaron Bolton in Columbia Falls, Montana.
The European Union has fined Google $3.5 billion in an ad tech antitrust case. This for breaching the bloc's competition rules by favoring its own digital advertising services. It's the fourth multi-billion dollar antitrust penalty for the company from the 27-nation EU. Google has 60 days to come up with a proposed remedy. The news angered President Trump, who on Truth Social threatened a wider trade probe against the EU over the action. Wall Street lower by the closing bell. The Dow down 220 points. NASDAQ down 7. S&P 500 down 20. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Visit St. Pete, Clearwater, Florida, where white sand beaches meet the arts, from the Dalí Museum to more than 500 public murals. More at visitspc.com. This is NPR.
We'll be right back.
Music from trombonist, composer, arranger Nick Finzer. The album called The Jazz Orchestra Volume 1, we heard his composition and arrangement called Just Past the Horizon here on KPR. Featured guitarist Alex Wentz, who we'll be hearing with Trumpet Ready and Charles later this hour, as well as trombonist James Burton III, baritone saxman Tony Lustig, and finally, the second trombone solo from the leader, Nick Finzer. Good evening. Welcome to Jazz in the Night. Thanks for joining me. In just a little bit, we'll hear from Denmark, from singer Sinead Eeg and pianist Jacob Christofferson. And on the way as well, out of the vinyl vault, alto saxophonist Sonny Chris. But right now, it is saxophonist Don Braden. We'll hear from his album, The Fire Within, here on KPR. It's the Don Braden tune, The Boiling Point.